Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to God's Purpose Ministry. I am glad to be your servant host on today. This is Pastor Oliver DeLoach. God bless you, beloved. What a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Fall book seven times, stand up eight is by John Mason. That is the book we're going to continue to come out of this evening. It's Fall Seven Times, Stand Up Eight by John Mason. It's really good, beloved. And tonight we're going to talk about We're going to talk about your character becomes your legacy. Your character becomes your legacy. We talk about character. And we just want to jump in there tonight about character and what we're going to be talking about. And we just thank you right now, Father, for your word, for your study, for what you're doing into our life, to watch over each and every one, open our ears that we may hear, and open our eyes that we may see in the spirit, and may you open our hearts that we may receive. Amen. Your character, yes. Your character says a lot about you. It says who you are. And here we're talking about it becomes your legacy. And it goes out to begin to say that every day we should ask ourselves, why should my boss, client, hire me instead of somewhere else? Or why should people do business with me instead of my competitors? Watch your actions. They become habit is one of the a quote was made. Watch your action, they become habits. Watch your habits because they become character. Watch your character become it comes your destiny. Let's say that again. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. That's a quote by Frank Outlaw, okay? So we have to really watch what we do. Living a double life will get you nowhere twice as fast. That's another thing. Character is a real foundation for all worthwhile success. Your character will get you in a lot of places and keep you out of a lot of places, all right? A good question to ask yourself is, what kind of world would this world be if everybody were just like me? You know, praise God, you are simply a book telling the world about its author. That's beautiful, isn't it? You are simply a book telling the world about its author, meaning, beloved, that people look at you and they read you and how you act and how you walk, your character. There is an infinite difference between a little wrong and just right, between fairly good and the best, between mediocre and superiority. All right? It's a difference. John Morley remarks, no man can climb out beyond the limitation of his own character. So never be ashamed of doing right. It takes less time to do something right than it does to explain why you did it wrong, all right? Character is something you either have or you are. Some people try to make something for themselves. Others try to make something of themselves, okay? Tyron Edwards said, thoughts lead on to purpose. Purpose go forth in action. Action from habits. Habit decides character, and character fixes destiny. I'm just kind of giving you a few quotes on tonight about character, and then I'm going to come back and talk about something. The Bible in assert itself in in Proverbs 22:1, it says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. To change your character, you must begin at the control center And that's the heart, beloved. Spiritual bankruptcy is inevitable when a man is no longer able to keep the interest paid on his moral obligations. Men of power are feared, but other men of character are trusted. So are you feared or are you trusted? Marcus Aurelius exhorted, never esteem as an advantage to thee that which may make thee break thy word or lose thy self-respect. And also, W.J. Dawson counsel, you need not choose evil, but only to fail to choose good. And you drift fast enough towards evil. You do not need to say, I will be bad. You only have to say, I will not choose God's way, and the choice of evil is settled. That says a mouthful, don't it? Okay. Praise God. Philip Brooks says this, a man who lives right and is right has more power in his silence than another man by his words. I just stop at that quote right there, just that quote right there. Let me read that quote again. A man who lives right and is right has more power in his silence than another man has by his words. I was thinking when I was growing up, my grandmother used to say when we didn't say anything, she used to say, silence give consent. So your silence also says a whole lot about you. When you're, especially when you're right, you don't have to boast about it, okay? Praise God. Meaning a man's reputation will not recognize his character if he's met in the dark is another quote. And Henry Ward Beecher said this, no man can tell whether he is rich or poor by turning to his ledger. It's the heart that makes a man rich. He is rich according to what he does, not according to what he has. And this is a good one. Listen to this one. The traffic sign preaches the world's shortest sermon. Keep right. I like that. Let me just move on. Let me pose this question for you. Would the boy you were be the proud man you are today? Would the girl you are be the proud woman you are today? Live so that your friends can defend you, but never have to do so. All right, and it's hard to climb up when your character is low. Those, beloved, I just wanted to take a moment to quote these quote about your character. It says a lot about you. So we have to make sure that we keep our character in perspective. And I want to move on now. Don't be your own worst enemy. The greatest evangelist, Dwight L. Moody, and I went to Moody Institute, I love it, said, I never met a man who gave me as much trouble as myself. And follow the advice of David Blunt, stay out of your own way. Stay out of your own way, all right? Gain control of your mind, or it will gain control over you, praise God. You know what I'm saying? You have to know what you do. No one can defeat you unless you first defeat yourself. Self-images, boundaries, and limits of each other. This is pretty much that we have was given on tonight. Now, let's move on to something else. We was talking about your character. But I want to move on to say this. How to make it through a mess. So we've got our character and everything, and we want to move over how to make it through a mess. How do you make it? It says, praise God. Satan can't stand people who praise God. Neither can he stand the praise atmosphere. Have you ever been in a mess, a fix, a jam, a pickle, a jumble between a heart and a rock and a hard place. Yes, 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 yes. We have been there. Praise God. Praise God. So let's look at the person, Jehoshaphat. Okay. Jehoshaphat, he has 7 steps that he was taken through a mess. You can read Jehoshaphat over in the story that reads, "Our God will not judge them, for we have not met against the great company that come against us, neither we can do but our eyes indeed. And all Judah stood there in the word Lord, and their little ones and their wife and their children. And upon Jair, the son of Zechariah, and the son of Benaiah, and the son of Jeriel, and the son of Matthew, and Levi, and the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and said, Hearken, all ye Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, and say unto the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. How to be blessed in the mess." And it continues to read from 16 to 22. Jehoshaphat was in a mess. He had married the wrong woman, and the enemy was on his way to get him and his people. Jehoshaphat called the people together, and his first words were to God, not to the people. It was private and personal. Jehoshaphat is reminded of God's position. He recounted what God had done in the past, and he rests on God's power in the privacy of his praise. Like Jehoshaphat, we need to realize who God is and thank him, and we need to remember that he has done and say thank you. And what I was trying to say, I didn't read the whole scripture, but when you get in situations, you have to remember that what God did for us before, he will do it again. He will do it again. And that's why he said he was remember of God's position. He recounted what God had done in his past. If you want to step through your mess, start at a point of the problem. Jehoshaphat didn't make light of the situation he was in. His situation was a mess, and he called it just that. He didn't coat it with superficial slang. He didn't laugh it off. He didn't throw a pity party. He admitted it to God, and then he pulled himself together. You know, sometimes we are strong character. We know how to be honest and get ourselves together. To step through your mess, cease to trust in your flesh, all right? Jehoshaphat said, we have no power. We don't know what to do. There's nothing wrong with admitting weakness. Some people said the mature man and woman don't admit weakness. Well, that's hogwash. Praise is a death blow to the flesh. In the flesh, we will be concerned about our friends and think how our clothes look or how we're going to proceed. But praise will break through all that. When Jehoshaphat admitted we have no power and we don't know what to do, he moved from the supernatural to the natural. Amen. So we're switching over to praise just in case you wonder what's happening. What happening was, let me tell you, I took the wrong lesson into the other wrong lesson. All right. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by power nor by not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We cannot trust in our flesh, beloved. Don't trust in yourself. Don't put no confidence in yourself. Don't put no confidence in other men, but trust God. To step through a mess, you keep your mind fully concentrated on God. The last word in Jehoshaphat's prayers were, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I read the scripture, I was reading out of 2 Chronicles 20 and 12. So I read 2 Chronicles 20, and go read verse 12 all the way through verse 22, beloved, okay? Praise God. Be determined to wait on God and keep your focus on him until the next directive comes, till you get your marching orders, till God tell you what to do. Remain before God. 2 Chronicles and 13 said this, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. Waiting is a part of praise. This is time of meditation, investigation, cleansing and concentration. When you hear people say, I'm waiting on the Lord, I'm just waiting on the Lord, it don't mean that you're waiting and doing nothing. The way, but you're waiting in prayer. You're waiting in meditation. You're waiting and concentrating on his word. You're reflecting back. You're waiting to hear for instruction, praise God. Then you confess the truth of God. In Jehoshaphat's situation, God said, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle, we always quote that, for the battle is not yours. Come on. We're talking about verse 15 here, but God's. All right. Then God told Jehoshaphat and to his troops exactly where the enemy would be. We have to know this is not our fight. This is God's fight. And we have to be still. We have to listen. And God will give us directive. He will give us direction. He will tell us in a still, small voice what to do. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide us in all truth, praise God, in Jehoshaphat's situation, God said, be not afraid. He came back, nor be dismayed. Okay? That's what he said. Then he dropped down to 16 and said, tomorrow, go ye down against them. That's that direction. Behold, they come up the cliff of Zid, and ye shall find them at the end of the book before the wilderness of Jer. Look, we are not going to be out there half blind. We will hear clearly. God will give us stuff clearly. And then he said, and ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Now he told them where to go. He told them what was getting ready, who's going to be there, gone over there. But when you get there, come on, verse 17, it will be no need to fight this battle. Set yourself. This is giving, look, giving you direction. Set yourself and stand ye still. Come on, sometimes we want to run to the battle, start swinging, kicking, fighting. But he said, but just stand still. And when you stand still, what's going to say? And see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be yours. Amen. Look, go on do and tell you what I say, but when you get there, just be still. Don't say a word. Don't open your mouth. I got this. You know how when you were younger and you take your older sibling or your big cousin or whoever's the baddest thing and you take them and show them where to fight? Come on. They said, where is that? Come on, we go. And you just stand there and they got this. This is what God said. Come on. I got this. This is not yours. So what did Jehoshaphat and his troops do? They fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They worship and praise. So if just in case you're thinking it's the same thing, no, beloved, it didn't. It said that they fell down before the Lord and begin to worship. They worship it by on their face, on their knees. And then when they stood up, they praised. That's when you stand up and you shout your hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. The next morning, Jehoshaphat spoke to all his troops. And this is what he said, "Hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, and so you shall you prosper." The rejoicing of the part of Jehoshaphat and all of Judah and Jerusalem revealed the completion trust in God. When you begin to praise him, beloved, when you begin to rejoice in the midst of your circumstances, situation, in the windlands, that's when we say, "God, we trust you. God, we believe you. God, we're resting in you." Amen. To get through your mess, be committed to obey. We've got to obey. In verse 21, 22 said that Jehoshaphat appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambush, come on, listen, against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which came against Judah, and they were smitten. Because, listen, write this down if you can, because of their obedience to the word of the Lord, their enemies were defeated. The enemy's army was completely alienated as they turned on each other. Yes, beloved, yes. This is the book we really must have been reading out of it, From Vision to Victory by Dr. Larry Trotter. Praise God. Okay, again, let's get back to it. Your obedience of the word of the Lord. Huh? When you obey, when you pray and obey, there's no use of us praying if we're not going to obey. Pray, obey. When they obey, the Lord defeated their enemies. All right? Praise God. It took Jehoshaphat and the army 3 days to gather the spoil. God, tell somebody, go get your stuff. Tell yourself, self, we got to go get our stuff. Listen, in verses 26 and 29 said, "And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachah, and there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the place is called the Valley of Berachah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy for the Lord, and made them rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with the psalteries and the harps and the trumpet to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was all over the kingdom of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel." Listen. The same steps will bring you through your mess into victory. What's that? Praise. Praise is the key. You saw what it said. They did it with joy. They came with joy. They came rejoicing. They came in with trumpets. They came in with instruments. They praise the Lord, meaning we can walk in our circumstances with joy. We can walk, be rejoicing. We can walk in praising. It's the key. God has a way through praise of allowing us to become the victors rather than the victims, okay? Your enemy has many things that will become yours as you submit to God and to praise. Yep, let's stop there. People say it doesn't take all that. Yes, beloved, it do. In the next character, We're going to talk in the next chapter. We'll talk about the meaning of the word hallelujah. Amen. And what is hallelujah? I love to say hallelujah. I love to shout hallelujah. When people say praise the Lord and people come back and say praise the Lord back. No, when they say praise the Lord, you shout hallelujah. Why? Because hallelujah is the greatest praise. We don't have much talking, but look at Revelation. If you have a chance, write this down that you can go back, beloved, and read it. Revelation 19, verse 1, 3, 4, and 6. That's how we're going to read it right quick. Revelation chapter 19, verses 1, 3, 4, and 6. What about hallelujah? And the scripture read in verse 1, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. You know that's a song now, right? Verse 3 said, and again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up ever and ever. And verse 4, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down. See, look, when you get ready to worship, we can hear, here's a second question. Scripture said they fell down. When you get ready to worship, you fall down to worship God that sat on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. And verse 6 said, and I heard, as it were, the voice of the great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, and saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And as Jesus entered the holy city of Jerusalem for the last time before he was crucified, some of the people spread their garments before him, as other branches of the trees at him, laying them on the path. And then many shouted, what? Hosanna. That's over in Mark 11 and 9. Hosanna in the Greek means to save or help now. But in Hebrew, it means hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rarely do you see the church scene in the play or someone shout hallelujah at the point, but you never seen in the Christmas holiday come through hearing anyone carol saying hallelujah. You will never attend a praise God church without someone shouting hallelujah. Now, when they praise the Lord, when you praise the Lord, you walk in church, when they shouting hallelujah, that's praise the Lord, saints. That is praise the Lord. The word hallelujah means more than you can imagine. It's the same majestic and completeness. Instead of being translated, the only word that no matter where you go on the face of the earth, the pronunciation, come on, listeners, the pronunciation remains the same. Wherever you go in the world, beloved, it all sounds the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah actually is a combination of two Hebrew words. Holly means to boast and brag, and Luyah means to shorten it for the name Jehovah. We're going to stop there. It was kind of mixed up tonight. I apologize because I jumped in one book, meaning this is supposed to be the lesson of the other book, and I kind of put them together. But forgive me. We'll do better on next week. Look forward to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sin, I, beloved, ask you to repent and give your life to him. Make him the head of your life. Ask him, Lord Jesus, come into my life today and forgive me of my sin. It's nothing like it. So, look, I love you in Christ, and there's nothing you can do about it. Meet me on next week. We'll be back on target. I promise you we will. Pray for me as I pray for you. God bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.